Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We have a very special Western Conference Final edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show here for you today. We are conducting this show from Pinnacle, where Sporting Kansas City would normally train, although I will say we're overlooking the complex right now and the three grass fields are all covered in snow right now. So the team actually took a bus to train indoors today. It was a light training session, so not a lot, I don't think, taking place on the field anyway. But the players came back here, are doing all their regeneration stuff and team meals and everything. And so we're going to grab a couple of players on the show coming up. We're going to be joined by Johnny Russell in the next segment, and then by Diego Rubio, two guys who might have a big, big say in whether or not Sporting Kansas City advance to the MLS Cup final here in a little bit. So you have that to look forward to on the show. I am joined. We got the whole band together here today. Yep. We've got the one and only Carter Augustine, and we've got Matt Lawrence. Carter, how are you?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Doing fine. Matty Lawrence, how are you doing yourself?
Yeah, good. A little bit cold being here in Kansas City. Obviously, we flew in from Portland just yesterday, and yeah, to be greeted by, what, 6-7 inches of snow. As you say, it's intriguing to see the pitches absolutely covered. Children's Mercy Park, too, is absolutely covered in snow, so the groundsmen have got a tough job on their hands. But in a way, I guess it's almost a blessing in disguise. The guys, it's all about rest and recuperation these next few days. I don't think they're going to get anything more from whether they're inside or outside. I think the rest will do them better than almost than an hour or 2 hour training sessions.
Okay, I want to get one of the a couple of things out of the way then here real quick is number one, if you like this podcast, if you like this show, you can always go and listen to the podcast pretty much anywhere podcasts can be found. iTunes, Spotify. You can, of course, listen to it on the Sports Radio 810 WHB app. If you don't get a chance to listen to it live, you can listen to all the podcasts on the extra programming page there. Any place I'm missing, Carter, in terms of where to download the podcast?
I don't think so. I think you got them there. You can definitely subscribe as well, and that'll pop up in your inbox every Tuesday when we load it up in there. So yeah, it's pretty cool. I like what they're doing.
And of course, look, you get exclusive content, and we're gonna have two terrific sit down interviews with Johnny Russell and Diego Rubio coming up. Maddie brought up the weather. And I think we should also point this out. There are some tickets available for this game on Thursday, particularly in the South Stand, which is a raucous area, maybe one of the best areas to watch. I mean, it's taken on a cauldron-like atmosphere in the South Stand. I think some people might be getting scared off a little bit by the weather because they see how cold it is with the snow on the ground right now. The forecast is calling for temperatures to be up into the mid-40s. On Thursday night. Look, I know that's not tropical, but I think we can all handle that. It's not going to be one of these games like it was in the MLS Cup final back in 2013. It's going to be above freezing, and I think the conditions will actually be pretty good for what should be a terrific soccer game.
If it's there, right, guys, it's exactly like it was Sunday. So it would be pretty much spot on. It's the same weather they had in Portland, and yeah, that's perfect game, perfect weather. And for what is going to be a fantastic game. I mean, this game between these two, almost like a cup final to go to, MLS Cup final. And I think it's going to be a really intriguing one that sets up nicely because Portland usually like to play on the counter. They only need the one goal, really, to force some pressure on Sporting KC. So I think that place is going to be rocking and going to be one of the better games that you'll see.
That thing, it's a must-not miss game as a spectacle, but part of that spectacle is obviously being there at Children's Mercy Park. Yes, you can watch the game on the TV and get a semblance of what's going on the pitch, but I feel that whole 100% atmosphere of being at the ground an hour before or 2 hours before, sampling that atmosphere building up and growing. I know you cannot beat being there at Children's Mercy Park. The atmosphere was fantastic at Providence Park on Sunday evening. I think we'll all agree with that, and I think any of the travelling cauldron who were there will say the same thing. But what we all know as well is that the atmosphere will be even greater and even louder come Thursday night at 8:30, and you got to be there, that's for certain.
Yeah, I just want to put that news out there because I think a lot of times we know how many sellouts there have been in a row at Children's Mercy Park, and it's a playoff game, so there might just be an assumption I can't get tickets to this game. That's not the case. There are some tickets available right now. Probably won't be the case by the time Thursday rolls around. So if you're interested, if you haven't seen a playoff game at Children's Mercy Park before, I mean, there's not many things I'll guarantee in life, but you will walk away in a situation you will not forget. That atmosphere, if you were there on Thursday night. So
that game against Salt Lake, what an incredible atmosphere that was. Yeah. And I'm sure they'll continue. I mean, Matt Beasler told the press conference today that they felt the first 10, 15 minutes in Portland. The fans were right on top of them. And I think it could be a great boost, right, to the guys here at home to get the same.
Yeah, I think Matt and the rest of the guys want it reciprocated, right? It was incredibly loud at Providence Park, certainly, as you say, the first 10, 15 minutes. But I think for most of the 90 minutes, it was incredibly loud there. Portland were obviously on top for large periods of the game in terms of possession and chances, I guess. But also that will happen in Sporting KC's favour at Children's Mercy Park Thursday night. So I guess our message is get down there and get cheering.
Yeah, it's SeatGeek.com. Go to SeatGeek. You can check out the tickets all over the stadium. Go to SportingKC.com or call 888-4KC-GOAL if you're interested in the tickets. Before we get into our preview of that game on Thursday, let's do a little post-mortem, guys, on the 0-0 in Portland. And first, let's just try to hash it out in terms of how positive of a result do we really think this is for Sporting Kansas City. Maddie, I'll start with you. What do you make of it 0-0 now coming home, knowing that it's even, but also knowing about the away goal tiebreaker being in play?
Yeah, I think we all admitted before the game that we would like an away goal to be scored, but we'd all have liked it to have been 4-0 to Sporting KC and job done come Children's Mercy Park on Thursday. I think it's a pretty good result. I don't think many teams go to Providence Park, whether it's playoffs or in the regular season, and keep clean sheets. And SKC have done it time and time again. This, as we know, is a playoff game, a little bit different. But to keep a clean sheet, I think that's pretty impressive. I think SKC were on the back foot for the large majority of the game. And even more so because of that reason, to have kept out Portland and with players of the quality of Valeri and Blanco and Espria, who we've mentioned, is fantastic when it comes to playoff time. I think that's a good positive result. I know that people have been negative in terms of we haven't got that away goal. But Nate, you've always said it. You've said if at the beginning of the season we could have said, can SKC go back to Children's Mercy Park and just need a victory to get into MLS Cup final? I think everybody would have taken that. And I think that SKC have to be confident because they are the home team. The onus is on them to make the game. And I think they will dictate the speed and the tempo of the game, certainly a lot more than they did down at Providence Park.
I thought what Matt brought up on the Border Patrol this morning was pretty interesting, that if you look at these two teams and these two games, you would expect Portland to win their home game and Sporting to win their home game. And so Sporting goes up there and kind of and nullifies their chance to come away with an advantage coming here in the second leg. So I thought that was an interesting perspective, mm-hmm. is that, hey, you know, if Sporting wins, they're through. And that's what you would have thought going in, and that's what you would have wanted, at, like Matt just said, beginning of the season.
First of all, absolutely adroit promo of the Border Patrol by Carter Augustine. I want to make sure that gets gets noted right there. But also, I think it is a good point, because then we can get hung up with the away goal tiebreaker situation. And certainly, I don't want to dismiss that, because it's legit. We saw it.
It's definitely legitimate. Yeah. If it was 1-1 or 2-2, it would be much more, well, not much more, but it'd be a little bit more preferable to 0-0. But the shutout, the great defensive performance for me. It was almost a sight to behold, everybody throwing themselves. I think we said at the time, Zusi, Beasler specifically were absolutely immense, as was the rest of the back four and the defending. As we know, when you listen to Peter Amese's press conferences, the first line of defence is the attack. I think everybody did their jobs correctly, and obviously keeping a clean sheet is a good thing. I think Peter will be, I don't want to say unhappy, but not quite as happy as he could be that there wasn't more of an attack orientated side to the game in terms of SKC. I think the low amounts of shots, the low amounts of shots on target doesn't disturb him, but he'd rather there be more, let's put it that way. But again, 0-0 when you're not playing as well as you can and playing against a very good Portland side, who, as you said, Matt said this morning on Border Patrol, plug once again, have won 15 out of their 20 home games this season, including regular season and playoffs. That's 15 out of 20, 75% of their games they've won. So to go there and keep a clean sheet is a solid performance.
Yeah. You're right, though. It's a little scary knowing that they've got a guy named Diego Valeri. We saw him whip in a free kick in Dallas, mm-hmm. and you're just one of those moments of magic. We've seen him here at Children's Mercy Park score an absolute worldie. So it is a little scary to have that in the back of your mind. They score one, you need two. There's a little bit of a scary danger to it. I'm looking specifically at Diego Valeri for that, because yep. We saw the goal that was ruled offside. What a peach of a ball that was. Those set pieces in and around the box are going to be really terrifying for Sporting fans throughout the match. But Sporting handled it well in that first leg. They'll try and do the same. Little scary, though, to have that in the back of your mind for sure.
I mean, that's the essence of the postseason. I think you look at it that way. It's certainly Sporting Kansas City are not on easy street, and we'd love to see them in that situation where there's a little bit of room for error, but there's not. But I'll go back to this and kind of to piggyback off of what Matt Beisler said. All we have to do is look in the Eastern Conference to know what it's like to have a bad result in the first leg. Mm-hmm. And I went back and was watching the television broadcast of the Sporting Kansas City game, and John Strong was pointing out that history shows in this format that, quote-unquote, home field advantage is not an advantage. First of all, we know just from a mathematics standpoint it's not, because it's one game at home, one game on the road. But the history has indicated that the lower-seeded team has won 70% of the time in these series. And the reason is because you fall behind in the first game. The home team wins the first game 70% of the time, and then they get to go back to the other team's place and sit back, bunker in, and know that they're in great position to advance. They don't have to even play for a draw, let alone a win. And that's the position that Atlanta's in going in. So I think that what you have to say is why, to me, it's job done by Sporting Kansas City, and what they did in Portland is they eliminated that advantage. Portland does not come here with a goal in their back pocket to say, okay, Sporting Kansas City are going to have to score two to beat us. That allows Sporting Kansas City to go play a game straight up. They just have to win by one goal. They don't have to win by two or three or anything like that. Now, look, we all acknowledge that doesn't mean it's a cakewalk. That doesn't mean that Sporting Kansas City is going to go win this game. But one thing, and this ties it together to what you were talking about, Matty, I think that Sporting Kansas City going into that game, this is what I saw. You're the expert, so you tell me if I'm wrong. I think they knew that this Portland Timbers team are fantastic on the counterattack. They're fantastic at sending the ball long on counterattacks and then winning that second ball to a guy like Valeri in the middle of the field. And I thought Sporting was very cautious in the first half. They did not throw numbers forward. Kyrie Shelton was by himself up there quite a bit. In the second half, the game started to open up a lot, and Sporting started to get more chances in the game. But I think Sporting can afford to do that a little bit. They're going to drive the game on Thursday, but they don't have to just absolutely throw everything forward because they're not trying to make up some goal deficit that they accrued in the first game.
Yeah, that's very much the case. And I think that they were happy not to possess the ball at times, SKC. Part of the reason was players maybe not being quite brave enough to get on the ball in difficult situations, which we know they will do at SKC and get on the ball. There was a large number or a lot more longer balls as well from the likes of Melia and Beza and Apau than we've ever seen, I think, this season, certainly in the regular season. And whether it be home or away, we're quite used to seeing Sporting KC go away from home and have 60% of the possession. As you say, it was almost a game plan to not possess the ball too much at times because they know that's how Portland play. Portland are happy to win games of football with 35-40% possession. They had the majority of the possession down at Providence Park, Portland, and yeah, they just couldn't take advantage of it. Partially, it was down to a little bit of bad luck, the shot that hit the post from Viafana, the very tight call of the offside, which was offside for the goal that was disallowed, and rightly so, I hasten to add. Yeah. It was a great decision by the assistant referee.
Yeah, props to the liner.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think we'll see a different type of game. But I'm with you, they don't need to flood numbers forward. And it is the same for both teams. If it's 0-0 going into the 89th minute, that's fine by both teams. It's either going to be extra time or one of them sneaks a goal right at the death. Portland, in a way, they would almost like the game plan to be 0-0 for 85 minutes, score a goal right near the death, and they know that SKC can't even retort because they need two goals to win. So I think we're going to see a different style of game. But for me, it's SKC not flooding numbers forward and not getting caught on the counter-attack, which they didn't to a certain extent at Providence Park, partially because of the game plan. And I know that Peter Vermees has said that they didn't set out that game plan to have a draw because the team doesn't know how to draw games. I would go along with that, but I think they were certainly a little bit more defensive than they have been in the past, and rightly so when you're going away from home in the first leg.
I think plenty of positives to look at as well. Yes. From I don't think Bobasi had a real impact on the game, and he's turned up in the past month or two, and I think he'll have a tougher time on the road than he would at home as well. Blanco, I don't think had as a particular of an impact. The one guy that did was Valeri, so that's obviously easier said than done to limit his impact. But I think some real positives to take from the defensive performance in matchups as well.
And we're going to have to keep an eye on the situation with Tui Loma. Is he going to be starting at center back alongside Liam Ridgewell in this one after Mabiala went down with what looked to be a pretty serious injury for the Portland Timbers in that one? Tui Loma played well when he came in. Yeah. One other thing I'd like to say, guys, just to point out, is I like it in the postseason when great players step up to the occasion. They weren't attacking players, but I thought Diego Chara and Matt Beasley were both incredible in this game. Anytime Sporting Kansas City looked like they had some sort of a breakaway toward goal or a chance to hit Portland on a counter, Chara, as he has done his entire career, was closing things down quickly. He was all over the field. And I thought Matt Beasley, I don't know if he took a wrong step the entire game, Matt Lawrence. What did you think?
Yeah, he certainly didn't. I'll definitely go along with Matt Beasley. I thought that he was man of the match from SKC's point of view. I thought it was close with Graham Zusi. I thought Zusi did a great job. I like Carter's point of individual matchups as well, individual duels all over the field. I thought that was so important. I thought both fullbacks on both teams did very well. I think they were part of the reason that there wasn't so many goal-scoring opportunities. I thought Valentin and Viafana on Russell and Shalwey, I thought the defenders got the better of the matchups. And equally, I think Seth Sinovic on Espria and Zusi on Blanco as well. I think those two had the upper hand. I would like to think that will change at Children's Mercy Park, certainly in terms of Shalwey and Russell having a more positive effect on the game. But also as well, just going back to your point, Nate, Chara is magnificent. I think anybody would want him in your squad. I know SKC would probably find it difficult to fit him into their style of play because he'd be playing in a similar position to Elie, but you'd want him in your squad. He's just that 100% guy, week in, week out, and he's a real tryer, and on top of that, he's very talented as well. He's almost a cross between Elie and Roger Espinosa in a way. He's okay on the ball, but he loves getting stuck in as well, and he does cover so much ground, I think, which is why we know from the stats in previous games, when Chara's not playing, you stand a much better chance of beating Portland Timbers, and he showed why, I think, in that first leg.
Timbers just flat out don't win when Chara's not in the lineup. He's going to be there. Everybody is. Nobody's suspended for this one, so it should be good. One of those players who will be back from suspension for Sporting KC is Diego Rubio. He's going to join us coming up in a little bit on the show. But next, I'm going to kick Matt and Carter out because I want to sit down and talk to Johnny Russell all by myself because I love him. We're going to do that when we come back. Plus, we'll talk with Diego Rubio and wrap things up by previewing this game on Thursday night. This is the Sporting Kansas City Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, we're back on the Sporting Kansas City Show here on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB, as it is a snow-covered Pinnacle training complex today. The team went ahead and trained inside because the fields are covered in snow. The good news is by the time this Western Conference final rolls around on Thursday, the temperatures are supposed to be in the mid-40s, supposed to warm up quite a bit. Should be an all right night for soccer, and hopefully that won't affect the standard of play on the field at all between these two really good teams in a winner-take-all game to advance to MLS Cup. We're joined now here out at the Pinnacle Training Complex by one of the stars of the show for Sporting Kansas City, Johnny Russell, who made it back from Scotland in time to feature for Sporting Kansas City in that tough game up in Portland. Johnny, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good to be here, man. Thank you.
How are you from a physical standpoint, maybe and even a mental standpoint, after we've already talked all season long about the fact that you played through the winter in England? Yeah. You basically had a short period of time off, came right here, and this is a good problem to have, but you played so well here. You're back on the national team with Scotland as well, yeah, but that incorporates a whole lot of travel. How are you holding up right now through all this?
You know, I'm good. Like you said, it's been a long season. I think it's been 17 months all in up until now that I've been playing. So, you know, it's at stages in the season it was tough, but, you know, it was my decision, you know, to come, you know, in the January. I knew that it was going to be a long season, but at times it has been tough, but I've got through it and now I feel good. And, you know, we've got a really important game Thursday, so I've got in my head, you know, win this game, I've got one more, and then, you know, then I can have a rest. But until then, you know, nothing, I'm not going to let anything up. I'm not going to, you know, don't need a rest until it's done.
Is it as simple as, especially for a game this big, and the atmosphere was incredible, I thought, in Portland, yep, and it will be on Thursday as well, Does the adrenaline carry you through at that point? Is it as simple as that, or are you just able to dig down for whatever you need anyway?
I think it's about everything. You know, you need to dig down at times, like you said. It's hard physically, mentally, you know, getting yourself in that frame of mind every day. It can get, you know, tiring at times, but we're at such a crucial stage of the season that, you know, any lapse in concentration could be massive. So, you know, it's not something that is going to affect me or the rest of the team. It's, you know, all hands on deck, and, you know, we know what we need to do to go and win this game, and we know if we win it, then we're in the final. So, you know, you don't really need any more motivation than that.
I know from talking to you in the past that you don't really like comparisons from one league to another, so I won't ask you to compare the crowd in Portland to any place you've ever been before, but maybe just describe it for me. What was the atmosphere of that game like in your words?
I thought it was brilliant. You know, watching it from the outside, Portland is one of the grounds that you look forward to going to because of the atmosphere. So, you know, the game at the weekend was no different. I thought, you know, their fans were brilliant, got right behind their team. And, you know, even for an opposing player, you know, when you hear that noise, it does give you a little bit of a lift. And it's the same when teams come to us. Our fans are always behind us, always making noise. And, you know, that's the atmosphere you want to play in. You want to play in games like that. You know, we've been to some stadiums throughout the season that, you know, there's not been a great deal of fans getting behind our team. So, you know, we're truly, you know, grateful to have the fan base that we do and the support that we do, you know, not just at home, but when they come and travel with us as well.
Okay, so now you're back home, as you said, and it is a little bit of an interesting situation because of the away goal tiebreaker. It changes the math a little bit, but like you said, it's pretty simple for you guys. Win the game, mm-hmm. and you move on. So do you just approach it like you would any other game in terms of the what your outlook is on the game? Or does it change at all considering what this away goal tiebreaker is?
Not at all. We've approached every game this season to go and win it. That's not going to change now. Even we got the away goal against Salt Lake. We didn't come back to sit in and get a tie at home. So that's not the way our team's built. That's not the way we play. So, you know, one thing is for sure, we are going to win this game. We know if we win the game, then we're in the final. And if you would have offered us a home game, you know, the last game, win it and you're in the final at the start of the season, and everyone would have taken it. So we've worked hard to get ourselves in this position, and it's up to us to go and finish the job. There's nothing worse, you know, than someone coming into your place and celebrating. So it's, you know, that's something that, you know, I don't want, and I know the rest of the guys don't want either.
Once again, we're visiting with Johnny Russell as we're getting ready for this big Western Conference second leg final in Children's Mercy Park, 8:30 on Thursday night. Of course, you can hear the game live right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Our pregame coverage will begin at 8 o'clock, so we'll have a lot of good pregame content for you as well as we get ready for this game. Now, I know talking a lot of times to guys who are in their first year in MLS, the whole concept of the postseason playoff is a little bit different. In most leagues around the country, or I'm sorry, around the world, whoever finishes with the highest point total wins the league. But I also know that you've played in the championship in England. You've been in playoffs before, even if they're not the exact same format. Yeah. Has that helped prepare you for kind of what this is, the fact that you've played in other playoff formats in other countries before?
I think so. The playoff in England is pretty similar. Know, first two are promoted automatically, and then third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, you know, play third place sixth, fourth place fifth, and two winners play in the final. So, you know, I've played in three, lost in the final, lost in the semi-final as well. So, you know, I know what playoffs are about. I know what knockouts are about, and, you know, that's, I think it has helped coming into these playoffs, knowing that, you know, the game that you're playing, any mistakes could be your last. So now we hit form, you know, at the back end of the season, got some great results leading up to the playoffs, which gave us a lot of momentum coming into here. And, you know, I think we've played well. We've went to two tough places in the playoffs and got great results. So know, I think it shows, you know, there's a lot more to our game than, you know, the attacking and possession game that we like to play as well.
So the game, the last home game you guys had, was in some ways a little similar in the fact that you guys jumped out to a two-goal lead, mm-hmm. but as soon as they pulled one back, it's different than in the regular season when you have a goal lead and, okay, if we give up a goal, we're level. Yeah. In that situation, you give up a goal, you're out.
Yeah.
Going through that process against Real Salt Lake, does that help the team at all, having that experience of being in this situation already once just a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, well, like you said, we've been in that position recently, and I thought, you know, the way we've seen out that game, we were under a lot of pressure at the end, and we're going to be under a lot of pressure at times on Thursday night. But, you know, it's a home game. We've shown, you know, throughout the season what we're capable of doing on the road, but especially at home. So, you know, Thursday's going to be no different. We're going to go out, attack, you know, press them, just play our normal game, and, you know, hopefully that's enough to get us the result.
Okay, a couple of other things I wanted to ask you about as we get ready for this game. First of all, I talked to you after the game in the locker room in Portland about how physical the game was, but you actually drew blood. You were bleeding from your hand, or what happened there in the first half of the game?
You know what? I have no idea. The game had kicked off. It was stupid. It was the tiniest little cuts on my hand, but the blood was just pouring out of them, so I had to try and get them, you know, get some band-aids on them during the game. But it's... No, it's fine. Honestly, I have no idea where the cuts came from, but it's just one of the things. It was pretty funny, to be honest.
Is that a first for you? Just like random blood coming out of your hand in a game?
Yeah, I can't remember it ever happening before. So it was a weird one, but it was fine.
Well, I'm glad that was nothing serious. I, on a lighter note, too, I want to ask you about. We've talked to you earlier in the season when you posed for a picture with a young lady who on her birthday was excited to take a picture with you. Yeah. That's when we found out you wore cologne, by the way.
Yeah.
Same, by the way, and we haven't actually talked to you on the air about this yet. Same cologne every single game that we're going with?
Pretty much. I've actually just got a new one when I went home, so I'll probably be sampling that one out.
Do you want to let us know what it is in case the audience wants to participate?
The one that I have been wearing throughout the season is Sauvage Dior.
Okay.
But the new one I've got is Comme des Garçons. Okay. So got it in Scotland, so probably stink of whiskey or something.
Smells like scotch, huh? Good. Do you ever get compliments from the guys you're playing against? Like, man, you smell pretty good out there.
No, not really. Not guys I'm playing against. That'd be pretty weird, yeah. But it's not during the game.
Is that common? Do a lot of guys, make themselves smell good before the game?
Well, you don't want to smell bad, do you? Yeah. Especially when you're giving shots away.
Maybe you guys wouldn't guard you mark you as tightly, though, if you smell really bad, you know?
That's true. No, it's it's more of a – it's not for the game. It's obviously traveling to the game. It's just something you do pretty much every day. So it's not purposely for the game. It's just obviously less.
It's just, hey, feel good, look good, smell good, play good,
there
right?
You go.
So you also had a fan, the mini Johnny Russell, that showed up. Dressed up as you, what was your reaction when you saw that?
Someone had actually, so I think it was for Halloween, someone actually sent me the photo at Halloween. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought it was great, and then I seen the mini me at the at the game. But it was it's nice. I've been truly lucky wherever I've been, that, you know, I've always had great support from the fans, you know, a little bit extra, so. You know, it's something that I'll always appreciate, and I'll always, you know, try and make time and, you know, speak to as many people as I can. But it's, you know, it's nice to see someone that young, because I can remember, you know, being that age and, you know, having heroes. So if I can take a little bit of time, you know, out my day to speak to, you know, younger guys like that, then it's, you know, it makes it all worthwhile.
Did you ever get to meet one of your heroes when you were a little kid?
I used to always go with my cousin to Celtic's training facility, but you could never really get to them. I got to them a few times, but, you know, it's still on the bucket list, Henrik Larsson. I'm still desperate to meet him. It was actually they had a charity game just before I joined here that obviously I was going to go to, but then I signed, so I missed the charity game and I would have met him.
Oh wow!
At the charity game, so it's something that I'm still desperate to meet him. So he's basically, you know, grew up wanting to play football, but really watching him was what sealed the deal. So I'm hoping I'm still young, still got plenty of time to meet him.
Meeting Henrik Larsson, that would be on the bucket list. I have a Henrik Larsson scarf in my basement, you know. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, from it's one of those half Celtic, half Sweden scarves,
Yeah.
So, well, that's great. Well, John, hey, just real quick to wrap it up before we let you go, back to the match on Thursday. I know competitors, you visualize things before you go into it. What's a win look like for you guys? How do you go about getting this victory on Thursday night?
No different from what we've done throughout the season. You know, we've got a style of play that we've stuck to throughout. You know, we've got a method of how we play, how everyone, you know, has their own jobs within the team. But, you know, as a team, you know, we like to press, we like to win the ball back as high as we can. And, you know, from there, I think we've got a lot of pace and power attacking towards goal, not just the attackers, but, you know, the support we get from, you know, the fullbacks, the midfielders as well. I think we're attacking in great numbers, which has been key to us all season, the amount of goals that we have scored. But I think just the way we work as a team defensively and how quickly we can turn that into attack is going to be key for us.
Johnny, thanks so much for the time. Good luck on Thursday. And we look forward to talking to you next week when we're getting ready for the Cup Final.
I hope so.
There's Johnny Russell. We'll be back with more of the Sporting Kansas City Show right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. The Sporting Kansas City Show continues on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Our thanks to Johnny Russell for joining us on the show. And we go from one attacker to another now as Diego Rubio joins us on the show. Diego, how are you today?
Good. Thank you. Thank you very much.
We're happy to have you back. And I think Sporting Kansas City fans are happy that you're back and available for this game on Thursday. You had to sit at home and watch the Portland Timbers Sporting Kansas City game on Sunday. Where did you watch it, and what was it like for you having to sit there and watch that game on television?
So I watched it at home with my father, well, with my entire family. I think it was the worst game of experience, you know, being out of the game, with not being with the teammate. I think I sweat more in my home than in the game, you know. But, it was good result, good effort from every player on the field, so it was good.
Is it different to watch it from the outside? Do you kind of think you might have some ideas for this game coming up on Thursday from that perspective?
Well, you can see that always it's different to look on television, on TV, than on the field. But, yeah, you can see, like, more good details, you know, about the other team, about the other players. So, but it's going to be always different, you know, to see from outside than inside. So, but it's good. It's good, too.
Was it an option to go to Portland with the rest of the team, or did you just prefer to be well away from it and just at home?
No. I want to be with the group. I think every player who's outside want to be with the group. But I think it's true that the players need to be focused on the game, you know, and you don't know if you are going to be, like, positive or a little bit negative. So it's better for them to be, like, always every game, you know. So, yeah.
So you mentioned your father. Is he in town, and has he been in town for a while now?
Yeah, he has been here. So he came for the first leg. And after the first leg, I said, you need to stay. So he changed the tickets, and he's flying back to Chile on Friday.
Okay, so did he go to the game in Salt Lake City or just the one here in Kansas City?
No, just here in Kansas City. But, he's very, like, a intense guy. So he's, like, all the time try to see the things on the fields, on the game. Then the team try to how to say, give me some tips about the game. And, yeah, he's a good, support to me all the time.
I remember at the beginning of the season you telling us about him giving you some really good advice on how to handle yourself in different situations because he's been there himself. What about watching the game with him? Is that fun? Do you guys talk back and forth a lot? Did he have a lot of thoughts about the game himself?
Yeah, actually we have, like, a very good, you know, in a good way discussions, you know, about you should do that, you should, you know, about everything. It was good, you know, we comment about the other team, we see like the weakness you say, mm-hmm. about the other team. So yeah, it was good.
Was that game against Salt Lake his first game at Children's Mercy, or has he been a few times before that?
No, he has been here. Like he watched the game against New York Red Bull last year here. Yeah, he has been here many times.
So you say he's going to be here until Friday, so obviously he'll watch the game on Thursday. And if you guys are obviously successful and get through to MLS Cup final, is there any way he'll be changing his ticket again?
So he was watching. So he was looking for the price to change again the ticket. It was so expensive. So he saw the other options to go like one day before to Atlanta, because we have directly, Atlanta or New York, we have directly flights from Chile. But I think it's too expensive, so maybe he's gonna just watch the game there. if we make it through, right, to the final.
Do you know if the game is on television in Chile? Would you have to watch it on the internet? Do you know if the Cup final would be on TV down there?
I hope so. Yeah, they have some games there, like especially like how do you say open like TV, like mm-hmm. National TV. Mm-hmm. I think they're gonna show it. Yeah, I know you have some. All the time, some internet options to watch the game.
Yeah, I think the league has kind of expanded their global coverage. It's been a big focus, so I think it is on down there in South America. Onto the team, you guys have made it now to the Western Conference Final. I'm curious from you. You guys brought a bunch of new players in the off season, but it seems that the team has gelled really well together over this whole season. Looking back now on the season as a whole, from what you expected at the beginning of the season, what's your overall opinion, thoughts on how the season has gone for you guys?
So from my perspective, I think it's amazing. It's a very good season. Last year I remember when I came back from injury in the middle of the season, you have some all the guys were new, like the first year, Gerso, Latif, Daniel. So it was kind of like we need to play more. We need to have more experience. You know, we get to the finals. We win the final. But after the playoff, and, you know, you have, like, different players here in the team that they have experience here in MLS. The other one are new. But this year is, like, a team that you brought some players. They are new in the MLS, but they have a lot of experience in other countries. So you can see they adapt very well, like Johnny, like Felipe. They were like amazing for our team. So I think with that kind of players that we brought, Peter, I think you expect good things, you know, always. Especially for Sporting KC that have been in the playoff for the past, I think, I don't know, 8-7 years. But, you know, get to the finals, being in first place in the West, I think that's something that you want to in the start of the season. But to realize that, I think it's amazing.
You guys are obviously very strong as a team on the pitch, but you also seem to be very strong. You have strong bonds off the pitch as well. Does any one player bring you guys all together? How come you guys have all gelled so well on the pitch and off the pitch as well? It just seems to be a really tight-knit dressing room.
I always say, well, you can see that how Peter is, you know, in the field, outside the field with us and all the stuff. And I think he make a team like, with very good personalities, very good guys. And you can see that if there's a guy like doesn't connect with the team, you can see it, you know, very fast. And I think all the players here in the team connect with each other. But at the same time, we can have some difference, and we say in the face, we have discussions in that time, but after 15 minutes, we are all friends, you know. And that's a good thing this year. That happen in the training, on the field, and you say the things on the face, and then it's over, and So that's very good in you know, inside and outside the field.
We're visiting with Diego Rubio, and obviously that's one of Peter's big mantras is team above the individual. But I find that interesting in the position that you play, because I always feel like a striker has to be a little selfish, because you got to want those goals. You got to want to score goals. How do you combine being selfish and being hungry to score goals for the team with still being a team player at the same time. Is that a difficult balance?
Well, I don't think so. I think the what he mean about the team, you know, spirit and all this stuff is more about giving all the time 100% of the feel, you know, on what you are doing. Running, if you must to score goals, scoring goals, assist, you know, all the stuff. It's not like, okay, you need to give the ball to your partner, or sorry, to your teammate all the time. No, it's not. I think it's not the meaning of that, how to say, like words. You know, it's more than give 100% every time you are on the field, on the training, in the locker room all the time. And then you need to do your work. You know, if you are a striker, you need to do the you know, you can see on the field, pressing, scoring goals, giving assists, hold the ball. So if you are a winger, you know what you need to do. It's more of the, you know, it's more than that things.
So now you guys come back for the second leg. You get the 0-0 away, which means if you win this home game, you guys go to MLS Cup. Do you think at the beginning of the season, if they presented that option to you, one game, final game of the season to go to the final, do you think you would have taken that at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I think it's a very good result. But we always say, even if we won, if we will won there 1-0, 2-0, we're going to go to this game to try to win. You know, for us, it's not a difference. We're going to, even if we are 1-0 in the halftime, we are going to go to the second time, also to the second half if we are 0-0. That's our mentality. That's going to be our mentality today, tomorrow, and forever, I think.
And is the team incredibly confident coming back home just because your record at Children's Mercy Park is so good? Are you guys all utterly confident, I'd say, with the 0-0?
I think we all are confident, but in a good way.
Yeah,
we respect the other team. But for sure, I told you before, we're going to go to win that game, not to tie.
Well, it should be a lot of fun on Thursday night. I know the crowd's going to be really up for it, and you guys are too. Diego, thank you so much for the time, and good luck on Thursday.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and thank you for everything always.
All right, that is Diego Rubio, and we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up again. Sporting Kansas City in the conference final, 8:30 on Thursday night. Our coverage will begin at 8 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Back after this. Back to wrap things up on another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show from Pinnacle, where Sporting KC are in their final stages of preparation for the Western Conference Final. We'll give you some thoughts on this game on Thursday night. Again, 8:30 at Children's Mercy Park. Tickets available. SeatGeek, 888-4KC-GOAL, or at SportingKC.com. We need to pack this place and make it every bit the atmosphere, if not more so, than what Sporting played in front of in Portland on Sunday. Guys, one of the observations I want to start this conversation with that I had was that I thought Elie was taken out of the game in the first half by the Portland Timbers. They pressed a little higher than I think they normally do. They stood on his toes in the first half. In the second half, Sporting seemed to find him a little farther up the field, and when they did, he was picking out passes down the channels that led to some pretty good goal-scoring opportunities for Sporting KC. But this game's at Children's Mercy Park. How do you think the Timbers try to deal with Elie here? Can Sporting Kansas City get that crucial piece involved in setting up the attack for Sporting Kansas City this time around?
Luckily for us, Carter got the chance to speak to Kerry Zavagnin at halftime the first leg, and the word bravery just keeps coming back to me. It's all about being brave enough to get on the ball, and I thought at times SKC were happy to go long in that first leg. I think they'll be a lot braver at home. I think that Portland will go about things the same way. I think they'll pressure relatively high, and I think whether it be a Blanco or Valeri dropping a little bit deeper and sitting on Elie's toes, I think they'll do the same thing. They know, everybody in the league knows how important Elie is to SKC. But if that happens, and it's just a matter of obviously Elie finding more space and other players having more confidence to get on the ball. At some point, if Beza carries the ball out of power, somebody needs to go and close him down. The space will open up for Elie to get on the ball. Or SKC go a little longer and the fullbacks push higher up the pitch, get the ball to those fullbacks, and Elie is then picking up the ball in between the spaces of the drop-in centre forward in Valeri or a wide man who comes inside in Blanco, and he can pick the ball up behind those guys from their point of view, but in front of Guzman and in front of Chara. I think it will happen because he's always, however high teams have pressed up or how high a tempo opposition teams have played against SKC, Ilie always gets on the ball. He always finds those pockets of space. He's a very intelligent footballer. And as long as there's many options to the person on the ball, Ilie being one of them, I think those spaces will open up. I just envisage SKC just having so much more of the ball.
Yeah, luckily, Julian Carroll asked that question of Matt Beisler today at the press conference, and Beis said, this isn't new. This is something that teams have been trying to do for a while now that they've discovered how important Ilie is to this Sporting KC offense. And he said, of course, they want to get him on the ball as often as possible. But it's not a new thing that teams have tried to mark him out of the game. And he fully expects as well that at home it'll just be natural just to be able to be on the ball a little bit more. But they did a good job of it in that first game. And you can definitely tell that's a game plan to try and limit this Sporting KC team is trying to get him off the ball.
Well, that first goal is going to be so crucial in this game. I mean, it's always big in a soccer game, but I think in this format with the 0-0 scoreline coming into the second leg, it's just enormous who can score the first goal in this game. And that leads us to the guy we just talked to, Diego Rubio. We don't know who's going to be in the starting 11 for Peter Vermees, but the fact that Rubio is available, how do you think he matches up, Maddie, against that back line of the Timbers? Should he come into the game either as a starter or off the bench?
I'd almost rather Diego Rubio was playing up against Mabiala and Ridgewell. I think Tuiloma's a little bit more athletic than either of the other two. I think Tuiloma would be able to deal with Diego Rubio a bit better. So from that point of view, you hope that Mabiala's fit and comes in and plays maybe. But for me, Rubio just offers something a little bit different than Kyrie Shelton. Yes, I think Diego at times is just as physical as Kyrie Shelton, but he doesn't have the height, so you're not tempted to go too long into Rubio. Rubio will come a lot shorter and you can play the ball into his feet. But I also think first and foremost is Diego Rubio is a natural goal scorer. He's a natural finisher. For me, I don't watch training every week, but I think he's the best finisher at the club. And he will gamble. When those balls are fizzing across the six-yard box, he will automatically just dart in front of defenders. He will not be on the back foot. He will not be rocked back onto his heels. I just think he's a true number nine. He's a goal scorer, and I think that has to be a positive, and which is why I think he may start. Maybe he doesn't. But for me, I'd want him to start just because I think he offers you more in the opposition's 18-yard box.
I think he'll go in. It's a Sunday to Thursday. It's a tough turnaround. He started in that 3-0 and got two goals in the first half against Portland back in August. Now, that was a three-man back line. Yeah. And I'm going to try and talk to the coaching staff during the week. I don't know why teams go three at the back against Sporting on the road because they seem to get slaughtered every time they do it here at Children's Mercy Park. I can't imagine they go three at the back this time, right?
Yeah, no, I think we're not going to see that.
They're settled in, right? Yeah, so it won't be quite the same. And Tuiloma came in for Mabiala in that game as well. But I think Rubio matches up, as Matt just said, pretty well with Liam Ridgewell and Mabiala. So I'd expect him to slot right in.
All right, that's going to do it for our edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show. I want to remind you, we've got a good 45 minutes of content leading up to kickoff on Thursday, starting at 6 o'clock. Cody Tapp will be broadcasting live from the Budweiser Brewhouse from 7 to 8 o'clock, and then the three of us will start our pregame coverage at 8 o'clock at Children's Mercy Park. Kickoff's going to be a little after 8:30. Again, get your tickets at SeatGeek.com, SportingKC.com, or by calling 888-4-KC-GOAL. And we will see you hopefully next week previewing MLS Cup right here on the Sporting Kansas City Show.